Hello, welcome to everyone who has joined us for our 2023 Q3 results presentation. I'm Javier Echave, Chief Financial Officer at Heathrow Airport, and joining me is Sally Ding, our Director of Treasury and Business Planning. Today, I will present our key operational and strategic highlights, followed by a review of our financial performance and latest outlook. We'll then open the lines for any questions. I am presenting today from Terminal 5. We are just a few meters away from our departure lounge, and I'm very happy to say that we have a sunny day in London, quite a vibrant operation today with many families leaving Heathrow in their half term. So for those of you who are still considering to taking a break in the next few days, it's not too late. I think we are here to you. So I will be leading the presentation today. And Thomas Wolby, our new Chief Executive, will join me in February for the full year results presentation, where we will also have the opportunity to meet him. You will have the opportunity to meet him in person. So let me start with the presentation with an overview of our operational and financial highlights on slide 4. So I'm very pleased to say that we had a very successful summer, welcoming 29 million passengers and taking the total for the first 9 months of the year to just over 59 million. Our service levels continue improving, reflecting the investment the airport, the airlines, but also the ground handlers have made in recruiting and training over 25,000 new colleagues in the last 2 years. And I'm delighted, especially that our 96% of our passengers passed through security in under 5 minutes during our busiest summer since 2019. The growth in traffic is also reflected in our financial performance, with revenue growing to 2.7 billion and operating costs at 1 billion. So that means that this results in adjusted EBITDA of 1.7 billion. And even though we continue to make a small adjusted loss before tax when adding depreciation of assets and financing costs into consideration. In terms of balance sheet, our balance sheet remains very strong, with gearing well below pre-pandemic levels, and we have 4.6 billion pounds of liquidity also available across the group. I'm sure that you will have seen that the Competition and Markets Authority has published their final determination on the H7 appeal process. And obviously, we are naturally disappointed. We believe that the outcome is not as great as it could be for passengers, but also we recognize that it is time to move on. Obviously, we will do our best to deliver the outcomes that passengers told us that they want. But given the tight settlement, we will do our best, but we will progress on all our investment plans that will take. I will talk a bit more a bit later. Obviously, one of the common reflections is that the H7 regulatory process has not been an easy process, and we will all need to take a closer look at how things can be improved before we start thinking about the H8 regulatory period. Not only about content, but also importantly, how do we make sure that we have a process that everyone has fewer surprises and clear visibility in terms of milestones. Finally, I am very delighted that Thomas Wolby has officially started as our CEO. He has been with us now slightly more than a week, and in his first few weeks, he's prioritizing to meet colleagues from team across Team Heathrow and within our local communities. And he very much looks forward to meeting all of you in person in the coming months, and definitely no later than in our full year results presentation in February. Moving to the business update with our traffic performance on slide 6. We have seen a very strong demand over the 9 months of the first 9 months of the year, with a total of 59.4 million passengers traveling through the airport. This represents an extraordinary 34% increase over the same period last year, and we are now running close to 2019 levels. In terms of passenger segments, we continue to see good performance in leisure, but also a positive trend in inbound tourism. Business travel is also recovering well, and while Q3 traffic is generally skewed to leisure and visiting family and relatives, the proportion of business traffic has increased over the last year to 27%, and the gap to pre-pandemic levels is definitely closing. By market, we have seen strong performance across the Americas, Africa, but also Middle East. The benefits of this trade and tourism demonstrates the critical importance of Heathrow as the UK's gateway to the world. In terms of specific regions, Asia-Pacific has experienced a significant rebound in passenger numbers, especially given borders only reopening earlier in the year. we now have more flights to more destinations in China than any other European hub. And finally, in terms of cargo, we are seeing air traffic movements reducing as passenger demand returns and belly hold capacity increases. But even with belly hold capacity back to normal on many routes, tonnage remains down on 2019 levels as the global air cargo industry is suffering the effects of various macroeconomic factors resulting in weak demand. Moving to slide 7, I would like to provide an update on how our traffic performance compares with other European hub airports. As you can see in this slide, our passenger numbers remain higher than our competitors, strengthening our position as Europe's busiest airport, especially during the summer, when you see how we have performed in comparison with other, the majority of other European hubs. We have grown twice as fast than all the majority of our competitors, which is extraordinary news and shows the phenomenal effort that members of Heathrow, but also airline and ground handlers, have put in place in the last few months. Especially, I think it's great news that structurally we are seeing airlines at Heathrow investing to expand the number of seats available. Year on year, we have 1.7% more seats, but importantly, almost 4% more seats above 2019. Additionally, and this is extraordinary news, I'm delighted that we have reclaimed our position as the world's most internationally connected airport according to OAG, which is extraordinary news and definitely shows the strength of Heathrow as the only hub airport in the UK. We have connections to over 214 destinations and more coming on board with flights to Peru and Turkmenistan commencing this very winter season. Again, other great opportunities for you to come to Heathrow and enjoy an fantastic experience. This is testament to our team's hard work, and we, as we strive to improve our position in the top 10 airports globally, we are ideally positioned to connect all of Britain to global growth. Moving to slide 8, you can see our standard service metrics. As passengers return and we see the benefits of the investment in recruitment and training over the past few years, service levels are also improving. The vast majority of our passengers had a positive experience through the airport over the summer. And in terms of security queuing, we have seen very strong performance with queue times now consistently operating at over 90% for under 5 minutes and close to 100% for under 10 minutes. On arrivals, punctuality has dropped slightly versus last year as we continue to be affected by air traffic control strikes in Europe, as well as airspace congestion and adverse weather events. Unfortunately, not much change since last time I report to you. However, what does have changed is that departures punctuality has improved, and therefore the gap between both metrics, arrivals and departures, is closing, which means and shows how airline ground handling at Heathrow is definitely in the improve. Overall, passenger satisfaction for the first 9 months of the year is in line with last year, with 15 million more passengers, and we're working hard to return to 2019 levels. We know that overall satisfaction levels will increase as we improve our service standards, and we are looking at different ways to enhance passenger experience. As an example, we have recently launched a 6-month trial allowing travelers to pre-book a security slot ahead of their journey, a product that is becoming extremely popular to passengers. And across H7, with the support of our capital investment that you, credit community, are helping us to put in place, we will continue supporting operational resilience, and we have 6 core programs running across H7. In the past 2 quarters, we have provided insight into the first 4 of those 6 programs, remembering next generation security, terminal 2 baggage, efficient airport, and our commercial proposition. And today, in the next slide, I would like to talk about the final 2 programs on the list. So we turn to the slide 9. The first program is asset management. And asset management and replacement is focused on the replacement of life expired assets to keep colleagues and consumers safe. The team, our engineering team, primarily have over 150 projects underway across the airport with a further 90 in the pipeline. And these projects cover a wide range of areas, including, for instance, resurfacing of both runways and associated taxiways, with works starting this year and running until 2026. But also we are delivering a suite of enhancements across numerous IT systems to ensure that we remain cyber safe. Finally, we are also delivering a rolling program to replace or refurbish lifts, escalators, and passenger conveyors across all our terminals. This is not the first time we have spoken significant times about sustainability, and that sustainability is also backed by investment. And you can see how decarbonizing aviation is attracting significant investment. We will be investing over £200 million to reduce our carbon emissions over H7. At the airport, for example, we continue to roll out electric vehicle chargers across the state, and we are now introducing new preconditioned air to over 50 aircraft stands, which will allow airlines to switch off their engines while they are parking. We also continue to make sustainable aviation fuels a regular feature of fuel supply at the airport, with major airlines committing to using at least 10% of SAF by 2030, supported by the incentive schemes that we are putting in place. I am very pleased that the Department for Transport have also committed to introduce a revenue certainty mechanism to support SAF production in the UK, which will close, hopefully, the gap between traditional kerosene and SAF. And I look forward to the government launching the consultation on options for designing and implementing the scheme. Let's now move to slide 11 for an overview of our financial performance and latest outlook. As mentioned earlier, during the first 9 months of the year, we have seen strong passenger numbers, and obviously that's translated into strong revenue generation, with revenue reaching £2.7 billion. With resourcing and capacity largely back to pre-pandemic levels, and our operating costs increased to £1 billion. And as a result, when you deduct OPEX from revenues, you get to an adjusted EBITDA increasing to £1.7 billion. Obviously, I don't have to explain to the credit community the macro environment that we are living, and we continue to see high finance costs, also impacted by inflation and interest rates. Obviously, lower charges and higher financing costs explains why we continue to see a small loss at the pre-tax level once we remove non-cash market value gains on investment properties and financial instruments. In terms of balance sheet, it remains very strong, with an increase in cash flow from operations to £1.5 billion, and that has allowed us to increase capital expenditure, with cash spent for the first 9 months to £418 million. Looking at net debt, I'm very pleased that it remains broadly flat at the group level, with cash generated from operations covering our capital expenditure, interest paid, and the increase in accretion charge as inflation remained high. Finally, our regulatory asset base increased to almost £20 billion due to increased CapEx, but also through the impact of high inflation. Let's now take a closer look at the details, starting with revenue on slide 12. As flagged at the start, our overall revenue increased by 30% to £2.7 billion compared to 2022, driven by higher passenger numbers, but also with a solid performance in terms of absolute terms across all revenue streams. In terms of comparing or trying to quantify the impact of inflation, while our revenue in nominal terms is up 19% in comparison to 2019, adjusting for inflation shows that in real terms, we're still growing at 8%. Sorry, we're still below 2019 at 8%, by 8%, mainly driven by the lower regulated revenue set by the CAA. We continue to see an impact in our retail revenue due to the removal of tax-free shopping, and we would urge the government to reinstate tax-free shopping at its next opportunity in the autumn statement. To finalize, in terms of all other sources of revenue, car parking and Heathrow Express revenues remain resilient despite increased competition from the, what I have to say, fantastic Elizabeth line. Moving on to slide 13, let's take a closer look at our cost base. We have seen a 22% increase in our operating cost to £1 billion, reflecting the full rebuild of capacity and resourcing. Going by components, starting with the people, employment costs, which include third-party resourcing for better comparability, have risen to £332 million, mainly due to additional costs associated with recruitment, overtime, but also training to ensure we had the necessary resources in place. Moving on, the rise in operational and maintenance costs is primarily due to full operations now being open and the impact of high inflation. In terms of utilities and other costs, has also increased by 50%, and this increase is due to higher consumption and obviously higher energy prices pushing inflation even higher. Despite these pressures, I think it's important to note that in real terms, our cost remains 5% below 2019 levels, which reflects our ongoing efforts to optimize efficiency and maintain the tight controls over operating costs that we have put in place for many years, especially during the pandemic. Moving on to slide 14, which shows how we have managed our cash over the past 3 years. Our cost burn is normalizing as cost increases to reflect full operations, and we start to ramp up our capital investment. Interest paid has also increased as the benefit of the swap reprofiling program that we put in place during the pandemic ended last year, and we will see the offsetting increase from this spread across the next two regulatory periods. We continue to maintain strong liquidity with £4.6 billion of cash and undrawn facilities available to the group. And from here, we will continue to maintain sufficient liquidity, but expect excess liquidity to gradually decrease as we continue to execute our H7 capital plan and optimize the excess cash that we are currently holding. Overall, we remain comfortable with our financing position, and we are well positioned to manage the current market backdrop from rates and inflation. Turning to slide 15 to look at our net debt position, at the Heathrow SP level, net debt has remained broadly flat at £14.7 billion. Our net cash flow from operations reached £1.5 billion, reflecting the underlying growth in EBITDA. And this was offset by capital spend, interest paid, but also accretion charge on our index-linked bonds and swaps as inflation remains high. As you know well, we are a prudent business, and that's why we are hedging part of our debt. Around 50% of our senior debt is linked to inflation. We have made no payments in the quarter to external shareholders. Unfortunately, something that I'm not proud, but we are forecasting no dividends in 2023. So I would like to take the opportunity also to thank our equity investors for their support and patience. We remain consistent in our approach to managing finances prudently and maintain a robust balance sheet. On slide 16, we can see that our gearing is now well below 2019 levels, and this reflects our efforts to manage net debt as well as the positive impact of inflation on our regulatory asset base. Covenant headroom for all three classes of our capital structure is very comfortable, and we expect it to remain so into the year end. Group gearing stands at 79.4% against a covenant level of 92.5%. We will continue to protect our financial position, and I'm confident that our strong balance sheet and financial discipline will position us well for the future. Turning to slide 17 for an updated outlook for the year. Obviously, given the strong performance that we have seen over the summer, that I have to say that has even surprised ourselves. We have grown significantly faster than other hubs in Europe. We are now forecasting full year traffic of 79.3 million, slightly above the upper end of our previous guidance, which was 78 million. As such, we expect that adjusted EBITDA for the year will be approximately £2.2 billion. Looking ahead to 2024, we expect traffic to be in line with 2019 levels. And we will provide you full update for both 2023 and 2024 in our next investor report, which is now due to be published in December. Finally, and turning to slide 19 to conclude the presentation, obviously, as we look ahead, our ambition remains to give passengers the best airport service in the world. And this vision is underpinned by our dedication to four priorities. So let me highlight some of the significant achievements from the past quarter. First of all, in terms of commitment to making Heathrow a great place to work, as we recover, we have expanded our team, providing numerous promotion opportunities for our colleagues. Throughout the year, we have celebrated 464 promotions, and we provide training and development opportunities to more than 1,200 colleagues. In terms of customer service, we have made great steps, and we are pleased to be named again Best Airport in Europe and number three in the world by Business Traveler. And we have seen a narrowing of the gap to 5.4 percentage points between arrivals and departures punctuality, which again shows the fantastic effort that the teams in our operational line keep doing. On Beat the Plan, we reclaim our position as the most internationally connected airport in the world. And I am particularly proud to say that the Heathrow Finance team won the PwC Building Public Trust Awards for the private business category as a recognition of the high quality annual report, which compares with ones from listed public companies. The intention behind this is to continue delivering our commitment for transparency and full disclosures to the credit community. We are also committed to sustainable growth, and we are proud to be the first airport to achieve the 1.5 degree validation by the Science Based Target Initiative, and the first to issue a sustainability-linked bond covering in-the-air carbon emissions. We are especially excited to see our efforts in promoting SAF become a reality now with the DfT, Department for Transport in the UK, committed to introduce a price mechanism to support the expansion of SAF. In summary, we remain dedicated to excellence, driven by our four core priorities, and we have seen notable achievements in colleague development, customer service, international recognition, but very importantly, sustainability. These milestones inspire us to continue striving for the best airport service globally. So thank you all for your ongoing support. This is the end of the presentation, and I will be very happy now to take questions from participants. So I will hand back to you, Sam, to coordinate.
Thank you very much. If you would now like to ask a question, please press star 11 on your telephone keypad and wait for your name to be announced. That's star 11 on your telephone keypad. You can alternatively submit any questions via the Q&A panel on the bottom left-hand corner of the webcast screen. Okay, we do have a question from the phones. That comes from the line of Vincent Ong from Jarislowsky Fraser. Your line is open. Please ask your question.
Hi, good morning. Can you guys hear me?
Yes, I can, Vincent. Hello.
Hey, how's it going today?
Very good, thank you.
Just had a quick question on the dividend. I understand there won't be any dividends this year. Any thoughts on the dividend in 2024? Are there any restrictions from a covenant standpoint? Or are those just not in play anymore, and you have the luxury to turn on the dividend when you feel it's appropriate? Just kind of your thoughts on that for next year. Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks, Vincent. And obviously, I think that on that regard, I think I haven't and we haven't as a business changed our policy. I think that we are very keen to pay dividend as early as possible and as early as it's safe to do so. I think our shareholders has been extremely supportive, extremely patient, but also we understand that they have their duties with their own investors and pensioners. So therefore, we will pay dividends as soon as it's safe to do so. I think at this stage, from you can see from the results, I think we have very comfortable headrooms in terms of interest cover ratios as well as gearing. The key thing is about making sure that we complete this growth in terms of traffic and we remain comfortable headroom in terms of credit rating. So I think on that, we will continue monitoring. And obviously, as soon as we are prepared to distribute a dividend to our patients or holders, we will share with the investor community.
Thank you.
Thanks, Vincent.
Thank you. A reminder that if you wish to ask a question via the phone lines, to please press star 11 on your telephone keypad. For the moment, we have no further questions coming through on the phone lines.
Okay. So I think we have another question coming from the chat. So the first question is, could you provide some color on how the revenues will be affected due to the NATS outage? Well, great question. I think overall, it was not material at all. I think we have a few passengers missing their planes during the day, but actually some of that was recovering the following day. So I think overall, no material impact in terms of August and September. The next question is about, many thanks for the presentation. Could you remind us the expected effect on the CMA's ruling on the 87 tariff in terms of earnings and credit profile? I think overall, you have seen the outcome from the Competition Markets Authority. There were a few areas that we were appealing, as well as few areas that airlines were appealing. Overall, the CMA has suggested to a remittal back to the CAA to check about three particular topics. But on balance, I think the CMA has suggested that they expect no material impact on the back of that decision. So I think overall we expect nothing material. And again, as I mentioned earlier, although we are disappointed with the outcome, now it's time to move on. We only have 3 years to do our best for delivering for consumers, and therefore we will do our best, recognizing also the tightness of the settlement that we have received in this occasion by the CAA. The next question is about what's the latest progress in your third runway expansion program? Thank you for the question, Ryan. So I think overall we are reviewing our stance on expansion. I think the focus for the last couple of years has been around getting Heathrow back to its best. We are not far from that position, but also we have been waiting for Thomas, our new CEO, to join. I think Thomas is now spending time discussing also with passengers, with investors, with creditors, with local communities and regulators. And hopefully in the coming year, we will give you a further update in terms of when we are in position to restart expansion. So please bear with us. Next question is about, can you please talk through the financial impact of the lost appeal against cutting airport charges by 20% next year? Thanks, Noor, for your question. Obviously, that's something that I mentioned earlier. We are disappointed. I think we believe that the CAA has missed an opportunity to invest more to accelerate improvements into the airport. But again, I think we'll do our best to deliver that. I think we are in the process internally of discussing our business plan, which includes the material reduction in charges that we are expecting next year. And therefore, we'll give you a bigger update and a more detailed update as part of our investor report that we are due to publish in mid-December. Again, there's another question similarly, trying to get more color on revenues and EBITDA for 2024. I'm sorry, but at this stage, I will have to refer to our investor report that we will publish in December, sorry. Another question around expansion, which again, I mentioned that we will give you a bit more color in the next few months once Thomas has the opportunity to get his head around that. Abdul is asking a question about if I can elaborate more on the traffic reserve mechanism. Does this essentially get factored in for the next regulatory period? So, Abdul, I think that what the traffic reserve mechanism effectively, the way it works is that any outperformance from the baseline suggested by the regulator in their decision is shared with the airlines. The first 10% of the variance versus the baseline from the CAA is shared 50-50, and anything beyond that is transferred to airlines, effectively 105%. So I think at this stage, as you can see, we are outperforming the traffic forecast of the CAA for 2023. The baseline was set at 73 million passengers, and therefore, with the outlook that we have today of 6.3 million passengers, that's effectively shared 50-50 with airlines. The way that it flows through the financial statements is that we recognize 100% of that outperformance in our EBITDA number, and you will see that number in our investor report. And then we introduce a negative adjustment for the 50% that belongs to airlines in our RAB, and we will amortize that over the next 10 years. So we take first 100% of recognition in our EBITDA, and then for 50% of the outperformance, we book it in the RAB as a negative adjustment that we will amortize and pay through airport charges in the coming 10 years. So hopefully that explains, but again, if I have been unable to explain clearly, we are very happy to follow up with an example. And the final question is around dividends policy, which hopefully I have addressed. There's a final question who has just arrived, coming from Ayush. What are some of the levers you have to reduce cost and increase margin? Well, I think that probably the fundamental opportunity is to really put in place the capital investment program that we have. We have mentioned around some of the programs that we have in place. covering security, baggage, but also commercial. And hopefully these investments are designed to improve your experience as consumers, but also they are designed to generate and unlock additional efficiencies and productivity. So we will continue investing in technology, and that's going to help us to really reduce costs and improve margins. So I hope that that's all. Let me just check with Sam again if there's any final question from the phone.
Well, we have no further questions from the phones.
Fantastic. No other questions from the chat neither. So probably the last thing I have left to say is a huge thank you to you for your time today, and an even bigger thank you for your ongoing support. Without you, credit community, simply we will not be able to deliver what we have been able to deliver over the last 9 months. I'm also hope that you are delighted to see again a set of results that bring very little surprises, and if any, positive one, like a faster traffic recovery. So last thing I have to say is I look forward to seeing you in our next presentation in February. In that occasion, we'll be together with Thomas, and hopefully before then, I will see you around the terminals to make sure that your next journey at Heathrow remains pleasurable. Thank you, and stay safe and well.